Blog Talk Hello? Radio.
Hello? Hi, can you hear me? Hello? Hi, it's TJ.
Hi, I think we're still waiting for Lauren.
I'm sorry?
I believe we're still waiting for Lauren. Or Sparky.
Oh, okay. So the show yeah. hasn't started yet.
No, it is. I'm just still waiting. I'm trying to contact him right now.
Okay.
Yeah. Hold on one second.
Sure.
Okay. Have been any luck? He should be coming on right now.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
No problem. Is anything broadcasting right now?
Yes. Hear me, Brady. Brady, can you hear me?
This is Christine.
I'm sorry?
Oh, that was Rihanna.
Hello, everybody. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Hi. Yes.
Hi. I'm computer. I'm not computer savvy.
Yeah, I'm having trouble with my Wi-Fi too. That's what I called in. You're having trouble with your computer? Lost?
I think it's the Wi-Fi that he has.
Yeah.
he doesn't really have good Wi-Fi where he's at.
Yeah, I know. I'm in the same position. I know. It's hard to do the an internet show without Wi-Fi.
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah,
yep.
We can hear you.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay, so I just want to welcome everybody to a beautiful Sunday afternoon. You know, here we talk about is injustice, the wrongly convicted, as well as family issues and the reentry of our loved ones coming home and what obstacles they face. And TJ, how do you say your last name?
Moonen. It's like Noonan.
Moonen.
Yeah.
Okay. Ms. Moonen is going to sit here and discuss some of the family issues that we have of just the justice system, how it is. And really, just on a side note, you know, the justice system and the reentry programs that they have, the what they set us up for with parole and stuff like that, they are not for us. They are absolutely against us. They are there to make obstacles, to sit there and put you through the fire to see, you know, just to test you and to really continue to make money off of you. That's how I see it. So, Mr. TJ, would you like to tell your story?
I'm sorry, what was that?
Would you like to tell your story? Am I breaking in and out?
Yeah, I'm fine, yeah. Well, you gave a great lead into the dysfunction of family law. I have a 30-year-old daughter I haven't seen. I've seen a total of 70 minutes in the last 23 years. She was taken from me when she was a child. And was basically brainwashed to believe I molested her as a kid, and it never happened. But family law system just expedited my ex-wife's process of getting me out of my daughter's life. And as far as the corruption and the money making behind it, that's what it's all about. Every state in the nation has a child support enforcement agency. But there's not one visitation enforcement agency in the country, and that's because there's no money in visitation. The government gets paid based on how much child support they're able to collect, and that is their entire function. They're not anything about reunification for the family or anything like that. They're all about making money, and the more children that they take from families, the more money they make. So they're more about destroying the family than reunifying it, and that's where the downfall of this country is coming from. Basically, is fatherless children are now the main source of problems that are infiltrating the entire justice system all around. So there's a lot more I could say. I could talk for hours about my situation and my daughter, but I'm sure there are many, many questions involved for you that you have. So feel free to ask me anything.
Okay. Anybody had any questions? Any comments? I know my sister-in-law is getting involved in this field. And so she's gaining insight through what she does for legacy programs and to eventually be a parole officer. You know, go ahead.
No, it's like parole or probation. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, same thing. I mean, it's all set up for us to go back to prison or jail, right?
Exactly.
So,
and the children to be taken from their homes, and it's the same thing. You know, the same prison that the adults are facing, the children are facing through CPS and DCYF and all their programs that don't work. So I mean, it's the same thing in a different setting. You know, these poor children don't know how their lives got to be the way they are, but they're just stuck in this negative situation. And it's the same thing I'd imagine with prisoners, especially wrongly convicted prisoners who are just trying to figure out why the hell they're stuck in a place that they don't belong. It's the same thing, whether you're an adult or a child, the way I see it.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about the impact that incarceration has on our children. You know, I have a 12-year-old son. When I parole, they make me go to county commitment. I'm there. I'm supposed to have a relationship with my son. Even though I own a home, a home up north, they still want to send me down south and keep me there as long as they can. So their department could make the, you know, cash in the benefits and stuff like that.
Exactly.
And then when I finally get up here, I'm stepping into a role of father, husband, formerly incarcerated and everything else, and fulfilling those roles is difficult. I mean, you're talking about emotional distress. You're talking about, feeling, being so emotionally overwhelmed that you're physically sick and, you know, just some of the stuff. And how do you just step into your child's life after incarceration? You know, how do you sit there and be the enforcer of the rules when you were the one that was away? I mean, our children do time with us. Our wives, our husbands, our family members all do time with us just as much as we are doing the time ourselves.
Absolutely. And the thing is, if you're lucky enough to have your children when you get paroled, you know, because more often than not, the family will disown you once you've been incarcerated in the first place.
Yeah. Well, and like you said, you know, the system has a way of labeling, boxing people in to where the society, this is the whole thing. Society as a whole, you know, what ends up happening is the system is very precise. All they have to do is throw out a label, box you in, and you will self-destruct.
Exactly.
That's all they're waiting for. And they set up these hurdles to do that. And one of those ways to a man's heart is his family. Is to a woman's heart is their family, their children.
Yep.
So I completely understand what's going on. You know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But
it's a tough situation from both angles. You know, looking at it from the child's point of view. You know, why was my daddy taken from me? You know, and not having a father to influence your life makes a really big difference, you know. My father died when I was 12, and not having a father made a big difference in my life. Caused all kinds of problems, you know.
Absolutely.
I didn't have
what are some
that I could have had.
No, what are some of the struggles that you've had yourself and that you've experienced with your daughter, like through this whole process? What are the long-term effects on her and, as well as you?
It's been difficult because, you see, when we got divorced, I left my wife because I cheated on her. I felt bad about that, and I knew I wasn't going to be able to stop doing it. So I decided to end the marriage. And when she got pregnant, I decided to wait around until my daughter was born. So my daughter was only a month old when we separated. And my ex-wife wasn't real happy about that, obviously, and she ended up using my daughter to get back at me. And in doing so, she ended up causing our daughter to live a life that's really based on a lie. And, you know, she's growing up thinking that she had a father that was abusing her that I never was. You know, every visit I ever had with her was supervised either by a mother or a supervision center, you know? So yeah, I never really had a chance to even really be her father, much less abuse her. My God. And, but my ex-wife made sure that she believed that I did. And, you know, she's 30 years old now and she still believes a lie. So she had to deal with, living a life without her father. And, you know, that was the last thing I wanted to have happen. But, you know, I did everything I could, but I didn't know what I was doing, and I lost everything, you know. And that's what killed – that's the worst part of the whole situation. So.
Wow.
I'm sure
were you actually convicted?
Mm-hmm. I was never convicted. I was never even arrested. I was investigated by Department of Social Services. The court had done two investigations. I was investigated by the Salem, New Hampshire Police Department, and it always came back no findings because there was nothing to find. But what happened was, when she was 7 years old, our visitation stopped, segregation could start, and I went 5 years at that point without having any contact with her at all. And during those 5 years, my ex-wife and her mother coached my daughter to say what needed to be said to keep me out of her life. And 5 years later, after fighting for the family courts, trying to get a visit, I finally got another visit. And by then it was too late, you know, and that's when the visit stopped. She was 11 years old, and I've seen her a total of 10 minutes since she came to the hospital last year when I had a stroke, just to make sure I was still alive. But I haven't seen her since, and I don't anticipate I'll never see her again, unfortunately. But it's a sad situation for her more than me, you know. I've lived my life. She's still got her whole life to live. They'll never go anywhere, you know. She's
okay,
the one
we're having some
from her.
Feedback.
It's always the same. Oh, everything okay?
Yeah. No, just trying to figure out I'm doing this from my phone. But I'm on my computer with the board, so I got to there's a number five – sorry to interrupt. So there's a 508 area code. Who is? Would you like to comment or ask a question?
Actually, can you hear me?
Yeah. Oh, there you are. Hey.
Okay.
Okay, we're doing it. All right. So what would you – so what's the – what do you see a solution to this? Like through going through all this crap, do you actually see a? Have you come up with a solution or any suggestions?
Well, I've tried. I mean, when she turned from the time she turned 18 until now, I've tried a number of times to get in touch with her, and it's at the point now where every time I try to get in touch with her, she gets a restraining order against me. So I've kind of stopped trying and. You know, I hope to God that one day she comes back to me and just asks me what happened, because she's never heard my side of the story, you know, and I hope that one day she does. But what I've done instead is focused on working with other parents who are going through the same situation. I learned everything I needed to know to about my case after it was too late, but I'm able to use that knowledge to help other parents who are going through it. And I'm able to see other families reunited, and you know, that makes it all worth it, you know. So and
yeah.
If she comes back, I'm ready for her, you know. I'm the man I want to be, and you know, I'm hoping someday she does, but I don't have any control over that, you know. And letting go is necessary, you know.
Yeah,
it has to be. It has to be. You know, it took a long time, but it has to happen.
Yeah. And I just want to, for all the listeners that are listening to this, this is in no way to bash the women that bash the women that are doing their jobs. And this is not a gender crushing show or topic. What happens is a lot of us are going through this. You know, there's a lot of men and women. That, and this isn't just a role of a female. This is also a role of a male. I mean, parents that pit the children against the other one for their own selfish gratification. So,
yeah.
I mean, I hear about family law and stuff like this all the time as an advocate from legacy programs. And it's really I don't know how to address it myself. You know, I could sit there and talk about my perspective, but what you bring is a very enlightened path, because you've walked it, you know, and you have the suggestions and the solutions and resolve. So if you had to say like a message to the men and women out there that are going through this, what would that message be?
the message would be don't do it alone. You know, 90% of the time, if you hire a lawyer, the lawyer is also in it for the money and is going to prolong the case more than anything else just to make more money. So if you're going to get help from an advocate, someone like myself, and there are many of us, believe me, who can help you with your case, and or go to a college, a university that has a strong law program, and seek out a student who's not in it for the money. He's trying to get the experience, you know, and has the knowledge
yeah.
that can help to some extent, you know. The problem with family law is there's no due process. They don't adhere to the Constitution. You know, I was convicted twice for not paying child support. I never got representation. I never got a jury trial. And it's fixed from the start. So, I mean, it's different from criminal court in that case, but it's similar in the results that come out of each one. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, no, absolutely. What are some of the signs that your lawyer is in it for the – because, I mean, this is – of course, there's good and bad in everything. I believe that even in lawyers,
mm-hmm.
unfortunately.
Yeah.
But what are some of the signs that it's all about the money and there's not going to be any resolve for you and your family?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm working with a woman in Texas right now whose lawyer is she hasn't seen her children since last year. And, you know, the most important part of the case right now is get her to see her children, you know, regardless of the situation. It can be worked. And her lawyer is focusing on the minor details that really can be worked out down the road instead of focusing on right now, let's get a contempt order in because the visitation order is not being adhered to. But the lawyer is just twiddling his thumbs on it, which is not only costing her money, but it's also costing her time with her child. And the time that she doesn't have her child, the custodial parent who has the child is more often than not doing things to alienate the child from the other parent. So like in my case, you know, I went 5 years with no contact, and the only information my daughter got was from other people. You know, her mother and that whole side of the family. So she didn't get the other side of the story. And as long as your children are out of your care, then, you know, there's a good chance if there's any animosity at all between you and your ex, then there's going to be trouble. It's going to take a lot longer and it's going to cost you a lot more. So, that, you know, having a lawyer can be good because it'll help you to get your voice heard. But at the same time, it's not going to be the end that you need, you know, or at least in time to save your relationship. It's going to make it more difficult to have a relationship with your child.
No, absolutely. How many, from your experience, how many people are going through this that don't speak out?
Well, there are there's over 500,000 children in foster care right now. So, you know, that's 1 million parents. And, you know, how many of them are speaking out? You know, I'm working with right now maybe 6 or 7. And, you know, I see it a lot in different groups that I'm involved in. But it's nowhere near, it's just the tip of the iceberg that's actually looking for the help. Because, usually you go into family court and you don't even know what you need when you get in there. You know, the first time I went into family court, I thought, geez, the judge is going to hear my side of the story and hurry and get 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 hurry and get
hurry and get hurry and get
hurry and get hurry. So I came out of the courthouse an hour later with supervised visitation. You know, you don't know what you're getting into, and that's where the problem lies. You know, to have an advocate or somebody on your side that can help you through that process makes it a lot easier for you and a better in the best interest of the child, literally.
Yeah. No, you know, I believe it.
The court's just in it for the best interest of the court, you know. So,
okay,
it's up to you to be the aggressive one and make sure that what's supposed to happen does happen. You know.
Yeah.
And what are some of the things that are needed when somebody's going in this blind?
Well, it's a lot of it is really just knowing what forms to fill out and how to fill them out. You know, there's certain wording that you have to know. And because if you don't fill it out right the first time, you're going to have to redo it 100 times until you get it right. So if you have somebody who knows what they're doing, that's why a lawyer make so much money. They know all this stuff and get it done real quick if they want to, you know. But someone, you know, an advocate such as myself and the other people I move along to, good to have on your side because it's someone who knows what the process is and can help with the little details that aren't thought about when you're going into court. Because you don't know, you just don't know what you don't know, you know. That's what it is.
Yeah, no, I get it. And so what is some of the verbiage in the paperwork that's necessary?
Well, just simple phrases, like just two words, so that, you know, writing an order, I want to reestablish my relationship with my child so that, you know, we can be father and son or father and daughter or whatever. You know, it's just the little thing, and it doesn't sound like much, but if you don't complete the order the way it's supposed to be written, it will come back at you, and it'll take forever. Trust me. I mean, most places have some form of legal advice, but it's usually going to cost you something. And any parent, any non-custodial parent, doesn't have the money, much less for a lawyer, but, you know, for any kind of legal advice, you know.
Can I say something?
Mm-hmm.
Can you hear me? Hello?
I can hear you.
Hello? Can you hear me okay?
Yep.
I just wanted to say a few things. First of all, I'm a social worker, so I want to clarify that because not all social workers are bad. But as I've said before, and Lawrence knows this, I'm a social worker that doesn't believe in dividing families. I used to try to keep families together. But what I wanted to say is you mentioned that there's no help out there for you, but yet there's a network, especially for fathers, with having the same problem you're having. And it's called the Fathers and Men's Rights Organization, Writers and Other Leaders.
Yep.
It's
yep.
an alliance for non-custodial parents, alliance. They have all these resources available for you, and it's not going to cost you money.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you're
usually,
aware of them.
Yep, and I belong to them, and I belong to a number of other groups that are like that. You know, and I agree. There are solutions out there, and that's, I mean, I guess that's what I want to get across the most is, you know, you don't have to do it alone. And you know, legal, as a non-custodial parent, paying child support and trying to live life, you're not lucky enough to be able to afford an attorney. So to get help in that way through an advocate, wherever the source may be, women's groups have the same thing. I'm sorry?
I interviewed a man. His name is Shane Crum. He's from an Ohio prison, wrongfully convicted, and he went through the exact same thing you went through. Apparently, he and his wife separated or divorced, and she ended up having another man in her life, and his child was sitting on, according to the boyfriend, the child was sitting on his lap. The mother was working, and the child apparently, you know, kissed him or something. And he asked where she learned it from, and he said he learned it from the father. But this is a clear example of how mistaken things like that can happen to people like yourself and to others.
Yep.
Because this way, he'd be up in the picture, and the boyfriend and the mother would be able to you know, take complete control of the child. And I just wanted to say that because your case is and I was going to say with Lawrence, perhaps at some point in time could bring both of you on at the same time so you could both talk about, you know, the issues of what happened.
Certainly.
Fortunately, you
didn't
get incarcerated, but he did, and that's one of the examples that are out there.
Absolutely, yeah. I would be all in on that, definitely.
So, what organization did you create or do you belong to? So, if any fathers or mothers out there that need help, how can they contact you?
Well, my organization is for the. I used to do national work, New Vision Organization Inc., but now I separated from the rest of them, and now I only focus on Massachusetts. First-time offenders of any offense serving life and life without parole, and those whose civil rights are being violated.
Awesome. Awesome. I'm in New Hampshire, so that's interesting. I heard the 508 area code, and I knew it was Mass. I belong to a number of groups, parenting groups, but as you were talking about the man that was incarcerated and the false allegations, it made me think of my friend Dean Tong, who is he works with parents who have been accused of false allegations, and he's testified in over 50 states. He's been doing it for 30 years. He has a website called abuseexcuse.com, and it gives you millions of resources on how to deal with false allegations. So that's one way to look at it. You can contact me just through my email. Send me an email, and I'll be glad to help you. And if I can't help you, I'll hook you up with another advocate who can. My email is tjmoonan@gmail.com, and I'm available all the time. I had a stroke last year, so I'm disabled. I'm not able to do any physical work, but I can do plenty of work here at home and on the computer. So, and I have resources all over the world, really. So if you need help, I can, you know, like I said, if I can't help you, I can connect you with people who can. So, and that's all I'm really trying to get out there.
Your host, Lawrence Drink, has the Legacy Program and Each One Teach One. So I'm sure he can use some real help too. So I will leave that part up to you. But I just wanted to put my two cents in, and I have to run now. But I want to thank you so much, Lawrence, for allowing me to speak. And I want to thank you, sir, for what you're talking about, because your case is not isolated. There are so many out there. And the sad thing about it is there's so many children growing up without fathers because their fathers don't want anything to do with them. So when I hear of fathers that want to be in their child's life and they're being kept from their child because of the mother or the woman, the girlfriend or whatever, it really upsets me because sometimes people will make up anything to prevent it. Mm-hmm. And it's not often that children have their father in the picture. And I just wanted to leave that with you.
Thank you. And I hope you'll look me up. Send me an email, tjmoonan@gmail.com. All right? Because you're in Mass, I'm in New Hampshire. I'd love to connect with you.
Oh, okay. I'll talk to Lawrence and get the information. Thank you so much.
Excellent. Absolutely. Thank you. Great job.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Thanks, Leona. Well, that's the beautiful thing about, advocacy, is that we all have to work together. I saw a post by Jamie Sells about how advocates are not working together and that they discriminate who they want to help. And that's one of the things that I don't agree with, is that, you know, we can't decide, we don't decide who we want to help and who we don't. It is all for one for all type mentality. And, if we sit there and play God with advocacy, this is going to be an issue where we're an injustice on our own people. And so I believe in wholeheartedly working together. I believe that, you know, you don't have to adopt a program and say, well, here, let me give you this, or I want you to be part of this. We all provide a service within ourselves that is an attribute to what we're doing to the big picture, rather than It has to be my idea. It has to be who I want to help, you know, and we face that. And so I love what you're doing. I think that to move forward, we all have to work together and kind of adopt each other, you know, just one big advocacy family. So I just want to commend you, Ms. Mona, on what you're doing. And your experiences and your trials are not going left unsaid. You know, these are things that we have to go through in order for to help more people to be as effective as possible. So don't feel so alone, all right?
Oh, no, I don't. Believe me. And, you know, geez, the people, the amount of people that are on my side and that are working with me, I couldn't feel alone no matter how I tried. But there's so much there. I mean, like you said, we have to work together. You know, my favorite saying is, if we don't stand together, we don't stand a chance. And, you know, that's the way it is. And unfortunately, especially in when it comes to parental alienation, there are a lot of parents who are focusing on different things instead of the solution. You know, well, it's a gender problem. It's this and that. You know, it's not. It's a problem that's affecting every one of our children. You know, that's the most important thing. And unfortunately, people get caught up in the personalities and lose touch with the principle. And that's where the whole thing goes wrong. You know, that's why I freelance basically. And I work off of other people, you know, I use people as much as I can to help the person I'm working with. That's all I can do.
Yeah.
You know, it's the
best. No, we do the same thing at Legacy, you know, like if, I don't have transitional housing yet. And the thing is, what I'm doing is I work with other people and I give them that part of the puzzle. Like if I can't provide a service that you need, I will go out and find somebody. By networking, that's why we're so effective, is that I could always call somebody that knows somebody and I give them the glory and the resolve from that. I mean, because they deserve it, right? They're the ones doing the work.
Absolutely.
All I am is just making a phone call or but you know, I just because we got about 16 minutes left. It's going to be a short show today. I did want to sit there and say, on a you know, with the reentry on parole probation, let me tell you all something. This is not for it's not for us. It is against us. It is to persevere through some hurdles and some hoops to make us stronger. And I just want to share with everybody, you know, with the family reentry is a whole nother monster. It is very difficult. It is, you're sitting there taking the humanity out of a person and then all of a sudden years later, giving it back to them and telling them that they have to be good examples, role models, productive members of society. But yet in prison, we don't have productive members of society. Even the COs, some of them are not. We don't have good examples. And so, and that's the problem, is that we're sending people away with this mass incarceration movement that saying that, you know, hey, go rehabilitate yourself, and then when you come back, we expect you to be normal, when the traumatizations from those places are so intense and so deep-rooted now that it's very difficult to process when we're out here. And, you know, as a formerly incarcerated, wrongly convicted, I served 20 years. I got out. I've created what I created to make it better for my brothers and my sisters. And so, Mr. TJ Monin, we look forward to working together. Like I say, you're doing a wonderful job, and thank you for your service.
No problem. Thank you. I mean, what you're doing is remarkable. And I've got about at least 5 different people I want you to talk to. So I'll get back to you on that over the coming days. But I'm very excited about being able to work with you and Leona and anyone else who wants to come along. By all means, the more resources that are available, you know, the more people we're going to be able to help, the way I see it.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. Would you like to give your contact information?
Absolutely. You can, like I said, my email is TJ Moonan, that's MOONAN, at gmail.com. Just send me an email. You can reach me on Facebook, TJ Moonan. Just search me, there I am. Twitter at TJ Moonan. There, you know, any if you just Google TJ Moonan, you can't miss me. So
okay. And just as a little shout out.
Is the best way.
Oh. No.
Yep.
I was gonna say, in some of the groups that you belong to, you
mm-hmm.
can you recall the names of them?
Oh goodness, I'm working with God. There's so many. We've got the Parental Alienation Worldwide Awareness Group, Men's Rights Group. There are many. There's so many, really. What I'll do is I'll type up a list and I will put it on your page, and you can get that out, I guess, to your website. Do you have a website?
Yeah, legacyprograms.net.
Okay, cool. I'll check that out, and I'll post it on there for you. Okay.
Yes, sir. Hey, thank you so much for your time, for your story, and for your struggle for the a bigger cause. And thank you for your sacrifice.
Absolutely. And anytime you need an opinion on family law, by all means, give me a shout.
Oh, no, we're going to need that, because that's another piece of the puzzle for the people I deal with is I don't know anything mm-hmm. about family law, so you're going to be an asset to us, and I look forward to working with you.
Absolutely, especially those getting paroled and trying to deal with the whole reunification thing. You know, I'm more than happy to help them with that. Absolutely.
No, that's great. Thank you so much for your time, sir. Mm-hmm. And you just keep doing what mm-hmm. you're doing. Thank you for reaching out. And it's been a pleasure being able to interview you and mm-hmm. ask you questions, and especially for your story.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it very much. And I look forward to working with you. Have a great day.
Yes, sir.
And keep pushing. Just keep pushing.
You too. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye. So that was the guy I interviewed that I've been for about a week trying to figure out what I'm going to do. I'm dealing with a lot with the fire evacuation. So good news, y'all. We were told we can go home today. So we are in the middle of packing our stuff. And as I'm doing this, so we're trying to figure out what we're going to do. So I will be back at work, back up to what I was supposed to be doing. And I just look forward to it. So, I do want to share this. Parole, this is why I say, this is why I'm such on this thing about parole. I had a place to go. I had a family member I could have stayed with during the evacuation. The parole denied me. They sat there and said I had to stay up closer to where my parole is. So they give us a motel. And it's cool, you know, 3 days at a time to see what's going on. But eventually they sat there and said, hey, we can't give you any more time. There's no more funds. And this is the problem with the system is that they're not – so essentially they're making me homeless with my son, my wife, and my six animals. What am I supposed to do? So there's a lot of thoughts of, you know, I'm better off in prison, you know, this and that. The only option that the parole had for me was sending me – to a sober living home and to separate me from my family. While I'm sitting in a clean and sober living, my family's struggling out here during evacuation, you know, not knowing where they're going to be, spending. They've hiked the prices on the motels for up to $200 when normally they're half, they're not even that, half of it. And but parole did help out. But you can't sit there and help tell somebody they can't go live with somebody and then in the middle provide a service and then in the middle just sit there and say we can't do nothing else. That's setting us up for failure. So with the grace of God, with all the people that have reached out, I want to thank you so much for the donations, for the pick-me-ups, the messaging, the calls, and just wondering how I'm doing. And it's taught me a lot about as far as advocacy. So most of the families that I've helped have reached out. In fact, all of them have, to, in one way or another, to see how I'm doing, how my family's doing, and that means a whole lot to me. It gives a little clarification of where I'm going. So,
glad
like
you get
I said,
to go home.
Huh?
No, I said I'm glad you get to go home. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but the thing is, we're still in the danger zone. It's still it's not mandatory evacuation. It's still under warning. So the fire on the 36 could still, you know, still roar up, and we could be evacuated again at any point in time, which lately they've been doing that. So a huge shout out to Leona, what she's doing, to the groups, Our Legacy, Each One, Teach One, Legacy Programs on Facebook, as well as if anybody wants, you know, any services, need any help, we offer mentoring. We offer drug and alcohol counseling, as well as just mental health stability. We believe that you have the answers already. We're just here to allow you to find them and expound on them. So if anybody wants to reach out to legacyprograms.net, feel free to. Right now we are trying to just help out as many people as we can. We are for the people, by the people type deal. And so I just want to say thank you for everything that our staff do, especially I have a wonderful secretary that takes care of the page. I have wonderful counselors that sit there and come together to help, and the mentors are phenomenal. So if anybody has any questions, you can reach me at legacyprograms.net. Also, lawrencedrenk@gmail.com, LawrenceDrenk. Or you can also go to cblegacy@gmail.com.
Legacy
program? Or just,
no.
What is it?
cblegacyprograms@gmail.com.
Okay. Okay. cblegacyprograms@gmail.com. I'm so sorry. So, and I apologize to the, you know, my lack of investment in this. I've been so sidetracked mentally with this evacuation and living out this motel. So the last couple of weeks have been kind of hit and miss, but my wonderful brother has also taken the initiative along with my sister-in-law to make sure that it's running effectively, and he did a wonderful job. So I just want to say thank you to both of you for helping me through this, and we're looking going forward. So for everybody out there, you are not alone. Dealing with injustice, dealing with reform, dealing with reentry, we are all in this together, and together we shall prevail. That's just all there is to it. We cannot be broken. So, like I said, if anybody has any issues with family law, you can reach tjmonin@gmail.com. And, you know, like I say, it takes a village to do this. So let's get to villaging. To all the advocates out there doing what you're supposed to, thank you so much. You are loved, appreciated, and thought of. And for the advocates that aren't, today's a new day. Let's see if we can make better choices and decisions. That will conclude today's show. And I just want to thank everybody, Mr. TJ Monin, for coming on, for all the listeners. And next week's going to be a whole new deal, because I will be a little bit more situated. And I really do look forward to the show. And I believe next week we have a wrongly convicted coming on to speak his story. And so we will do this. So thank you, everybody, for your time. Thank you, everybody, for your listening and understanding. Have a wonderful day. Bye, y'all.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you.